Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters on a Wednesday night after two mostly interesting episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. With me, as always, from the beginning of our fledgling podcast here is Chris from the Cinema Boof YouTube channel. Chris, how's it going?
Hey, Craig, good. Want to give a shout out to Valley Internal Medicine for squeezing me in today at their doctor's office. Good to be here.
Oh, is everything all right?
Oh, yeah, just a physical. Thanks, Dr. Tomasian. Great to see you.
You always do your physicals last minute?
Yeah,
Oh, all
I don't
right.
like to plan too far ahead.
And new to the podcast last week, and what I hope is a permanent fixture of Bachelor Masters is EZR from Pacifica Radio. EZR, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, good. Yeah, good to have no one to think.
All right, no one to thank. That's establishing that the Bachelor Masters doesn't thank anyone. We roll our own.
I think that's a great band name too. If you ever start a band, no one to
No one to
thank.
thank. All right.
Yeah, I think. Once a day, I think to myself, that's a good band name of some weird off thing that I say. I'm like, oh well.
I actually was well. Let me just kind of go down my laundry list here. The first episode here of the week was interesting because it moved a lot of the various sort of side actors forward. So I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and if you watch those shows, like literally every episode is great, except for the fly episode, which was not great. But ex every episode but one was great. But there was always that episode at the middle of the seasons that sort of was a little disjointed and the pacing was off because they really needed to move a bunch of stuff around in order to kind of set up the second half of the season. And I felt like they were doing that here. And people that we haven't been paying attention to, not only in Bachelor in Paradise, but all the way back to Rachel's season and Nick's season, just to sort of add backstory. I felt like the second episode, just like last week, was really kind of a throwaway. In fact, I didn't even watch the interview with DeMario because it's just like, I just can't go through that whole conversation again. Okay, so that's my little spiel. Let me hand it over to Chris to make sense of what I just said.
Well, I thought the editors did a great job, although he didn't need any help at making Dean look like a
Right.
complete fool.
Right.
And they had a lot of fun in this episode, cross-cutting between something Dean said and the lie as shown through his action. So that was one of my takeaways from this episode. I thought that there was some good drama to be gotten out of Dean's two-facedness. But again, he didn't need a lot of help with that. And then, the second episode, Craig, just to your point, I can understand that you're tired, and I think I'm tired of how, much they want to drag out the Corinne and DeMario kind of controversy. So that's a little tiresome to me. But I think I'm not quite as over inundated with some of the personalities that get paraded out
Right.
on these kinds of episodes. So it didn't bother me as much, but I agree that it didn't pace as well as that first episode.
I'm really curious to hear what EZR has to say about the Dean situation, but I guess sort of going back to the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul analogy, we really learn a lot more about Christina. All we've really known of her up to this point, going back to Nick's season, is that she is an orphan from Russia and ate lipstick and that whole sort of story of how she got here and how she's really tried to make something of herself. Here we got to really kind of get a glimpse into kind of what makes her tick, and it's just unfortunate that we're never going to know what really happened when Dean visited Kentucky during the shutdown, because obviously there was more going on than they both let on, because she's super attached to Dean, to the point where Dean's just treating her like complete garbage and she's a punching bag. And that's not a role I like to see her in. I think she's stronger than that. It just doesn't come across well.
I think she, I don't think it takes a lot for her to be attached to people because of her background. But I was told, like, I felt so bad for her. And then, you know, she is handling it so, she's so smart and mature and, like, controlled and even sweet to him when she doesn't have to be. It really, really, and I like the way she's so straightforward. She's one of the, she's handling it so well, whereas other people who've had short, small traumas in their life have been, like, freak out, you know, make a big scene and run out, or I don't know. You've seen all kinds of little things on The Bachelor like that.
I mean, do you think, EZR, it's enough to say, I'm going to challenge what you just said in the best possible way. Do you think it's enough to just say that she has this background of, it's like, here's a checklist of things that would make her like that, but, and she checks all the boxes, like, she's an orphan. She comes from a drastically different country. She lives in Kentucky, which is probably a whole world apart from, you know, where she grew up. She, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So you can say, well, that's why she's letting Dean walk all over her. But I don't know. I don't know. That just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? It just seems too easy to say that those are the reasons why she lets Dean get away with rolling over and I need to take a shower because I smell bad and I want to look pretty. I mean, that's just so ridiculous. I don't know many girls that would put up with that regardless of their background.
I think most girls on this show, like we've all seen, have put up with stuff for being way less traumatized than she is. And I kind of give trauma a lot of credit here only because I've worked with adults who have trauma and kids who have trauma, and you see it their whole lives. Like their trauma, any kind of, even something less than what Christina's gone through, has been so like impactful. You know, it impacts the rest of your life in the weirdest ways. People, it's not just about opportunities lost. It's about this whole like mentality you walk out with. And I mean, I know maybe there's like, Dean must have said he loved her, but I can see just the small efforts that Dean makes, even coming up to her and being like, I just want to let you know that this happened.
Right.
I'm still, is enough to kind of carry her through to being, to forgiving him in a way and saying everything's okay. And I think she's carrying herself very well, but I also do attribute a lot of it to her. I don't know, but she says it herself. She says, he says one thing and he does another thing. I'm looking at it, but I don't know why he's doing it. So, you know, and Dean himself is emotionally stunted as well.
Yeah. Well, of course that
well,
comes
out. That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah. Emotionally stunted.
And Chris and I have put a lot of work into Dean over the last, 10 episodes of Bachelor Masters.
Yeah, he's, I think one of the guys says it. I think it's Jack Stone calls him like he's a good boyfriend to have in middle school. And for sure, he is stuck in middle school in every way. He is, he's like, I think you guys said it where he was breaking up with Rachel and he was like, what's your favorite dinosaur or whatever he said. And it was like, it's ridiculous.
Well, right up until the point where when he wants to essentially date two women, and he wants them to accept what he wants. He puts, when they don't accept it, he says, why can't you be adult enough to accept, he always has this kind of like pseudo intellectual or pseudo mature speak for excusing what he does, which sounds completely ridiculous, which is like, oh, we're both consenting adults and we can do what we want. But then you see what he says to Christina in particular, and he's not telling her the truth. He's not representing what happened in any way that's true whatsoever. It's like, we had a quick peck or something like that, and it was just, no, you didn't.
Yeah, it's one thing to come on this show and sort of be the kind of quiet, stoic type who knows that women are attracted to him and sort of wants to play the field, but at the same time, I think a player in the positive reality dating show sense of the word when they're with a woman, which might be one of many or one of a few, they give that woman all the attention at that moment. That's yeah. when you know this guy knows what he's doing, he's playing it good, and the women have a reason to be attracted to him. But Dean is not doing that, right? When he's around Christina, he's acting like a douchebag. You know, like he's doing those things that in middle school would, like, when you're dating around for a day, you know, you're like going steady for a day or a week. It's those little things that will instantly break that relationship up. Like, not responding to direct questions, rolling over and ignoring what they say. I mean, she's not getting attention that a player would give her that would attract a girl to a person who has more than one girl in their life. It would only push her away.
I put myself in Christina's place, and I can totally see why she's being led on. And I think Dean's thing is that he's kind of saying, like, don't hate me to everybody. Like, don't hate me, you know, like, he doesn't really want to be hated.
Right.
But I do see him leading her on and telling Definitely. Her it's just a peck, or saying, like, you know, I want to check in with you, or pulling her aside to talk to her. Like, I do think he's making an effort in her eyes to look for her and to be with her and, you know, check in with her. That means, like, if you're checking in with someone after you're going on a date, that means, hey, we're obviously, I don't know. I think she says something like, this is not the Dean I went on the road trip with. He's playing up for the cameras. And maybe she's like hopeful that once they go home, they'll be back to where they were. Or maybe she's hanging on to hope. And I think he's giving her hope. And he's doing something horrible to her, I think.
Well, why is she hanging on to hope, I guess. I mean, I guess sex during that time in Kentucky would probably make that happen if you're a sex equals attachment type.
For a girl, I mean, I'm telling you what I see as a girl. Me being, I put myself on those little throw pillows they have, and I'm listening to him. And he is, those gigantic pillows, they're so nice. I want that instead of couches. They're really nice looking. He is telling her, I mean, this is how a girl would read it. You know, if I was a girl and I was sitting across from Dean, oh, you like me. You're telling me right now to wait for me, to hold on to hope. Hey, I miss you. Hey, I like you. That's what he was saying. And if I was a girl reading into it.
Well, and an impression I get from Christina, and I wonder if either of you will agree or disagree with this, but she, ever since Nick's season, seems kind of in it to win it until she knows it's hopeless for sure. So that's part of, I don't know if I see her being. And I wonder, actually, ECR, with you've had some experience with adults with trauma, if this plays into some of your observations at all. But some of her background, I wonder if it's sort of like, it's not so much like neediness or being desperate. It's like she will be a fighter until she knows she shouldn't be anymore. And there's a character who makes some observation. I think it might be Adam or Jack Stone. And they say, like, you know, Christina is really cool. She accepts your garbage up to a point, and then she's done with you completely. And that's the sense I've always gotten, and that's why I've seen that she keeps giving Dean these other chances, is because she's like, there's any chance that she's sort of going to make this work with him. She wants to give it a chance, but once she decides she's not going to, she's going to be done and he's dead, you know?
Yeah, that's a huge point that the guy makes. I mean, the thing is that kind of stuff is said all the time on The Bachelor. You know, oh, they'll take your you know, your attitude until they don't. Like, everyone kind of says, I'm the kind of person who does this, and, you know, they're not. This, with the little comment that guy made, was actually very true. And the reason I respect Christina so much is because he, you know, all the adults, she is the one out of 100 adults that I've met with trauma. And when I say trauma, I mean people that have been in jail, kids who are really, really, like, going to jail, basically. And she's the one out of 100 that looks like she's made it. And this show is not for the kind of person that's not super emotionally stable, because it must mess with you. And it's I don't want to use the word that gets overused all the time, but it is brave of her to go on there, and it is brave of her to kind of put herself out there. Or maybe it's super unconscious or super naive of her. I don't know. But I if I had that kind of background, I would not put myself there.
Well, okay. All right. I see what you guys are saying. And I guess I didn't factor in the miss you aspect that you mentioned, ECR. Like if she genuinely misses the guy that she was with in Kentucky, then I could see her going out of her way to make this work to the point where she's willing to kind of gloss over some really shitty moves on his part. And I'm sure there were much shittier parts than what we even saw on TV. I mean, if he's tuned out, it's probably across the board. But that said, and, you know, Chris, in the last episode, you praised my incorporation of certain physical attributes into my overall scoring of men on The Bachelor.
Yeah, so, I always love that because
I mean,
it
the guy
opens my eyes.
I just want to go back to the fact that the guy has no upper lip that is easily correctable.
It always makes me laugh.
Well, I'm always like... Like, I know looks aren't everything, and looks are sort of, like, wrapped up in a lot of different things, and rightfully so, everyone's kind of got a different, they're interested in different things about men. But, I mean, we're not talking about Brad Pitt here, right? I mean, there's other fish in the sea, literally, at this resort. And so, she knows how this game works, and she, and like you said, Chris, even on Nick's season, she was able to sort of separate Nick's what Nick says from like what Nick really feels because she understood that it's a game show. So why is she having such a difficult time like just kind of coming up for air, looking around and seeing all these other opportunities, particularly because she holds the rose, right? It's the women have the rose. Like, what am I missing?
Yeah,
there's probably there probably was a lot said, right? And he didn't exactly, I mean, yeah, go ahead, Chris, sorry.
No, not at all. I wonder, actually, I'll throw it back to you with a question. First a comment. She probably wasn't thinking strategically with the rose, at least the way the show is edited to me, because Dean seems so manipulative, like right before the rose ceremony, where he comes on and again does his pseudo-mature, listen, I don't want you to think I'm coming to you just because you have a rose. And,
right.
But he is.
That's but exactly, he is.
It's a blatantly manipulative move. Well, and yeah, ECR.
Sorry, I was going to say, I don't understand why these bros, all these bros, like don't do the smart thing and make friends with the girls instead of trying to make out with them right before the rose. It reminds me of like the same kind of bros I'm looking at going to college with them and cramming right before, you know, partying up until they're cramming for an exam. I'm like, why? You're not going to, you know, they're not going to come out on top. And they don't, except for Diggy, who kind of makes it work.
Well, I didn't study in college, and I think I turned out all right. So I'm... So I kind of relate. That's why maybe I like these shows so much, is because I relate to the guys in a certain way. But
I went to the worst frat college ever. So
I wasn't in a frat, so I don't know that.
For the frat.
And that's why I'm the nerdiest, least cool out of the three of us, because I just stayed inside all the time. So there we go.
Hey, anyways, we're across the spectrum here at Bachelor Masters. But and you know, frats and sororities do good work in the community. So to all of our listeners in frats or sororities, we thank you for listening and support your cause.
And in libraries, we also thank you.
Yeah, no, yes. It sometimes works for them, you know, the last minute cramming. That's good for them.
Textbooks. Textbooks are important. Okay, well, I don't know. I'm starting to get bored with my own conversation here. So like maybe we should move on from the Christina and Dean thing. I mean, I sort of am starting to fit Dean into DeMario and Corinne and Jaden Tanner and Evan and Carly, which is like, I'm just sort of,
oh no,
I'm just kind of over it now. Like, I'm starting to really get fatigued with Dean talk. And
the thing is, deplorables for you, Craig.
I really like Christina. I mean, I think she's super cute. She seems funny. I like her sincerity and her directness. We've addressed that before. I was with for a long time. I was with somebody who was not a native English speaker and had an accent. And I think it's really cute. That something that Christina does that this person I was with did, which is when she gets nervous or her adrenaline peaks, so like public speaking or she's crying, her accent gets way, way thicker. Like, that's just a trait that I think happens when you have a, when you're not a native speaker, which I just kind of picked up on really quickly. And I just think that's really kind of neat. There's like all these attributes that I think are really not only attractive, but things that as a potential partner, I'd want to find out more about. I mean, she just seems like a really intriguing character. So we're missing something from Dean's side. I think we all can agree that there's just something we don't understand what's going on up his butt. She's given him all of the rope to hang himself. So that's, I guess, my interest is all on the Christina side and really kind of waning on the Dean side.
Okay, yeah. I also like how the show gives sort of relative, a rubric to judge who's attractive based on who the show tells you is attractive. Right. So, like, Dean is, like, the hot guy forever. Everyone wants him. And once Danielle, who enters this episode, she becomes, like, the show tells you that, because all the clips they show of the guys are, like, from a scale of 1 to attractive, I'll take attractive for $500. That's a quote from Dean, like that.
Which didn't even make sense. On a scale of 0 to attractive, I'll take attractive for $500.
It was the most stupid quote, but it made me, it was so inane, but everyone goes after Danielle and everyone goes after Dean. Yeah.
Maybe it's because he's a lot like Nick, you know? Nick phoned it in. Nick had that smug, I'd rather be doing something else, but I gotta get my Instagram followers thing going on that Dean seems to be, taking on.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Adam, by the way?
I wrote this down because I thought it was super important to kind of, because they were talking, you guys were talking about Rachel's sister's husband. Right. If anyone appears to me like a 0 or like a 3, it's Adam. He looks like he has a really bad allergy problem
Well, there's a big difference between 0 and 3. There's a lot of space between 0 and 3.
I love that you're splitting hairs for the 0.
I think that's the first 0 ever was
really
Rachel's sister's husband. And to be a 3 takes, you shower every day and go get a haircut and
right, you're like, at 30%.
Have friends, Yeah, exactly. It's like when you get an F in college, an F is actually 50%. So you're winning. A 3 is still 30% more than 0.
I'm learning a lot on this episode.
The only reason he's ever a 3 is because two girls fight over him weirdly.
I thought that was weird too.
Well, it was the two girls that like bunked with him in Dallas, right? So there's backstory there.
Yes,
it's not just any two girls. It's two girls that partied with him.
There's like the theme of this whole two-nighter.
Right, they all know each other is the theme.
We find out a lot about their off-screen behavior. And the way she says it kind of was very straight. Raven says, me and Adam and what's her name? Ashley? No, Sarah.
Is it Sarah?
Yeah. Sarah, yeah. Me and we all spent the night together. And right. That sounds fine. I mean, it sounds like we spent the night at his house, but she could have cleared it up a little bit.
Right.
But, sounds fine, whatever. And then she obviously goes out with him knowing that she saw them cuddle. And so that seems like a really – and, we also learned that Robbie and Josh are best friends. Josh Murray, Amanda's ex. So – it's okay in Bachelor Universe to date your friend's exes.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this on the bus ride home, too. I actually think that's maybe one of the more intriguing aspects of Bachelor in Paradise is that, for better or for worse, they do all know each other. And just like the Bachelor and the Bachelorette as individual units has gotten to the point where everyone on the show, every contestant on the show grew up with the show, and it's changed the way that the contestants act on the show. I think Bachelor in Paradise has gotten to the point where everyone knows each other and comes from the same cosmos, I guess, I don't know what you call it, subcosmos, I don't know what you call a group of people, but they all come from that ilk, and so it's changed the dynamic of Bachelor in Paradise, I think, in some ways for the better, because it's kind of gotten people to jump to the chase a little quicker. I mean, we're only in the second week here, and there's already, like, these huge dramas happening.
So does that mean that, like, when Rachel brought her friends on to her season of The Bachelor and were like, hey, scope out the guys for me, tell me which ones have good intentions, and they met people that were like, these people are potentially going to be on Bachelor in Paradise, right, I can have her leftovers afterwards.
That's a great way of putting it. That's a log line for a new spinoff show also, is like it's called Bachelor, the Leftovers, and it's everyone really like explicitly scrounging around. But actually, one thing I thought was, and part of the show, especially this show, that's interesting to me over Bachelor, Bachelorette, is like you're playing a political game as much as a romantic game, where you have to get along with the people of the same sex and the people of the opposite sex for the duration of the show. And you know you're going to get into scuffles with them, but you sort of, if you want to last a while, have to time those scuffles right. But I was, so I understand why people don't do this, but I was thinking Raven, for example, has been sort of like crowned the favorite of the girls in the beginning. And she could really give that rose to whoever she wants. And I believe she gives it to Adam, right?
Yes.
And like ECR, I was sort of surprised that Adam came in and seemed like he was such a favorite, because he just seems kind of like a bro-y, not like particularly like attractive person, or, you know, right, he's kind of somewhat annoying.
Well, maybe he's just a lot of fun to go out with. I mean, they could have had this like great party in Dallas or something, right?
That's true. But if I were her, and this speaks more to the fact that I'm a jerk, you know, I would use the curse word, but I'm trying to save those for you this time, Craig, since ECR and I took
them last
time.
We have four according to our terms of service, yes.
Exactly. I would disrupt, and I would give my rose to someone that I knew was coupled up with someone else. You know, I don't know. I guess they could say no, but it's sort of like you can give your rose to anyone. And I was sort of wondering why people weren't disrupting more. And I thought, okay, that's because they do have to maintain good relationships with one another and like the group, so to speak. Right.
Well, that goes back to kind of playing it smart, where I think they made, I mean, let's, if we look at the big picture of this, I think they made Bachelor in Paradise because, I hate to get too like bachelor-y guy on you guys, but because Bachelor Pad was actually a game show,
right,
where they could hook up because they were all both in the same rooms, like girls and boys together, and people found out how to kind of hack the game because they had this whole system. This guy, one of the only guys I love on the Bachelor franchise, called Grant, one of my favorites.
Right,
he's
right,
never
right.
been back since. He's actually he found out a way to hack the system. So I get what you're saying. There's two parts to it, right? There's the fact that you don't want to disrupt a couple because you don't want to be looked at as the bad guy, but also they should give it to their friends in honestly to be very to play the game right. They should be giving it to their friends, because that way they will get to be there another week, and then maybe the favor will be returned, but that's not really going to happen because because it becomes emotional, you know, it becomes very like, that's my dude, that's my girl kind of thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I totally realize emotions do become part of this, even if they come out of these weird artificial circumstances. So that's all a good point. If I were Raven, though, I think even though I know from an off-air exchange that we all kind of think maybe Ben, the dog-loving contestant, is a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. Boring is also, that would be safe. It would be like, I would give it to him because he's interested in her. Let Adam hang out to dry a little bit and see what happens. But anyways, Craig, you were about to say something?
Oh, well, that's really smart. And Ben is an interesting person simply because of his one-dimensionality. And he's kind of the opposite of DeMario. Like, DeMario's like, would be better looking, or he would score higher if he would just shut up. Like, no one likes a blabbermouth, and he constantly is talking himself into corners. Whereas Ben is already pretty high score, like, because he seems calm and sort of chill and works out and has a good body and all that. But when he needs to talk more.
Yeah.
Because
he's always lifting that stone above his head. He's always running around the beach with the stone.
I think he just needs to drink more because it's like he needs to loosen up. And like, there's been some good characters that, like, well, Waboom, when Waboom drank, he actually became a lot cooler, in my opinion. But going back to this idea of like politics between people, keep in mind that last year's Bachelor in Paradise was that huge drama between that sort of like weird dude who played.
Oh yeah.
He played whoever.
I missed that
guy. And then that sort of like banging brunette showed up, and like then she played him.
But then they had an earlier exchange through Instagram, which is
right. Yeah, you find out that they were all Instagramming. But that was like a dominoes. So it was just like black took red, then red took black, and then black took red. It was really quite remarkable. But, so here we've only had one rose ceremony, and I think the girls were probably way more straightforward than the guys typically are. I'm not saying that women do it differently than men. I'm just saying this particular rose ceremony wasn't quite as like political maneuvering as other ones have been, particularly last season.
Oh, here comes Robbie's little tiny black socks. So gross. If I saw little black socks on someone, I'd be like, oh, so gross. And that's not what you wear. But
I wanted Robbie to be eliminated, but he wasn't.
No.
Yeah, who gave him? It was
Amanda. No. Amanda
was
gave
it Amanda?
Him a rose. Oh, here's back to what you were saying. Sorry, I don't like. You know, he considers himself some kind of fancy dresser, but that whole exchange would not, that's not attractive. So back to what you were saying, the point of the show, though, is not to make it to the next week. It's to find someone that you like. And I think the girls are trying to kind of be the, you know, the show their cards. Hey, I like you, by giving someone a rose.
Well, that's not entirely true, though, because yes, it is to find someone you like, but it's to hold out until the person you like shows up.
Yeah, but
so that guy knew. Well, last year I think the show. I mean, they must queue everyone up in a hotel and then they bring it out because it's all so coincidental. Like, you know, just when Dean is starting to act weird around Christina, they bring out what's her name, Dojo or whatever. So. Last year, like, they brought out the brunette, whatever. So they brought out the brunette just when he was at the point to burn the other girls. So he knew that the brunette was coming because of their Instagram chats last year.
Yeah.
So that I think is the caveat. It's like they want to stick around because they know beforehand the lineup, and if there's somebody that they're targeting,
so
they'll play somebody else to get to them.
Right, is it a thing where they say, who wants to go on Bachelor in Paradise? Who do you like on the show that you haven't met or whatever? And then
I think that's totally true.
Try to make couples before, or at least triangles, love triangles beforehand, and then, you know, throw the chips in the air strategically or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So you got the blonde, the tall blonde that looks like a mouse. She goes, the one who left. She's like, must know that no one else is coming. That she finds interesting because she's just like, no one here is interesting.
Oh, Danielle, yeah.
Danielle. She's going to go, I don't know, work with Doctors Without Borders in Africa or something. But
that seemed so staged.
Yes.
That whole thing.
I'm going to go to Africa and then, you know, Wells gave me a kiss and it was like the only kiss I've ever gotten and it was so great.
This is Craig's voice that comes out sometimes when he's imitating
contestants. Nashville person that they all hang out.
When that whole thing happened, I was like, what a savior complex she must have. But other than that, I thought she was a really, really sweet friend. Honestly, she was consoling Christina and Taylor, that B word. She like just digs at people continuously, and I think Danielle was a very good friend to Christina. Not to bring it back to Christina, but Taylor is trying to dig at people, trying to make things bad. And she just, I don't know how she's a therapist or what is she?
Yeah. She's an emotional. Well, no, she's not a psychiatrist, of course, but she's a psychologist. And they played that up at the beginning of Nick's season.
She's like the emotional evil mastermind. Like, she just tries to mess with people. And
well,
she
do you remember, Chris Soules' season where there's that woman with, like, the short brown hair who everyone just completely hated? And she was, like, constantly saying stuff like, well, I'm more intelligent than everyone else. I'm up here and they're down here. And she got burned on the 2-on-1 date. Do you recall this, EZR?
Vaguely, but
Taylor fits into that category, which is like she has a much different perception of herself.
But the issue is that maybe she was a villain on Nyx, but on this one, she's the in love one. They're not playing her off to be. I mean, they are a little bit, but she's more evil than they're letting her be. I mean, that they're showing you. I think.
I think she's hideous. Oh, I think there's no question. I feel like I'm disagreeing with you a lot easier this episode. I don't mean to. I just feel like I don't know what their intentions were, but I think she just comes across completely awful. I think she's just a horrible person. And I had to look this up. I actually tweeted it. It's called high rising terminal. It's a type of speech pattern. Mm-hmm. It's where you always end your sentences with a question.
Oh yeah.
So I was looking it up on Wikipedia, and there's a whole section on gender and how women that use it, it's a sign of insecurity, and it's often associated with valley girls, and how speech people think, you know, blah, blah, blah. They try to, you know, it's not considered an endearing...
But that's why they do it, to be endearing, right?
Well, you know, it's
well, there's all this
like
psychology
it's like
involved.
The faux intellectual equivalent
right.
of the vocal fry. The yes. the other valley girl thing, which is like I can't do it, but
right. there's a lot of
people.
Vocal fry on this episode. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So both of these are like things that when people, and typically women, at least according to Wikipedia, like when they use it, there's like this internal sense that it makes you sound smarter, but it actually
right.
doesn't. It does the opposite.
Really, I just being a girl and being around girls, I think it makes. I think girls think it sounds cute. And I don't just think girls think that. I know girls think that. But I think when they hear themselves being like that on tape, they're like, oh, no, no. You know, you get a little older and you realize it doesn't sound cute or whatever. But I have heard girls who do it just because they think it makes them sound cute around men.
Right.
But that's not a Wikipedia. That's an anecdotal.
Well, I think there's certain things that, like, there's certain horrible, destructive things that parents do to their kids without even knowing that they do it. Like, and, you know, I think a lot of kids spend a lot of their adult life trying to get rid of patterns and behaviors that their parents bestowed on them. And I think maybe something like the high terminal ending and... those things are things that you have to kind of get rid of. Like her mom did it as a kind of for the reasons you pointed out, EZR, and she does it and she doesn't know she's doing it, especially when you're on camera and you get nervous. So
maybe
unless you have somebody who points it out, like a friend who's like not so nice all the time, is like, hey, dude, you got to stop doing that. You know, I've had friends say that to me and they're like, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing it.
I'm just thinking I think it's an intentional young people thing or people who try to sound young only because I've known women who are this and then they're not. They don't speak like that anymore. They think it's cute. Whatever.
Extra. Even somebody like emotional intelligence who's so wrapped up in her self-image.
Well, she is so young and that's something that doesn't always get brought up, I think. She reminds me of like an undergrad who might be, you know, kind of precocious, but then takes that to mean that she is like the smartest person alive. And that's what she sort of reminds, you know, like the undergrad who loves her English class and sits in the front row and always raises her hand and looks down on everyone else
right.
in the class.
Right. Or then so, like Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. She just like comes home and tries to fit what she just learned into the conversation.
Exactly.
Okay, hold on. But wouldn't a person that does that have seen an article about this high terminal pitch thing and known to not do it? I mean, there is a correlation between someone who thinks they're the smartest person in the room and being smart.
Exactly. No, and I think that's the discrepancy that she's in. I'm not saying she's stupid or anything, but I don't think she's quite as smart as she thinks. And if she were 5 years older, she might realize, like, look, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm not good at. And I think she just overvalues some of her skills, right?
Maybe she is very smart compared to a lot of these people on the show.
Maybe. She's ambitious. Well, they're all ambitious in their own way.
I have formed an opinion of her, and I don't think she's... I mean, there's different kinds of smart, but I don't place her on any sort of level above anyone else. I actually think, like, just looking at Christina right now, I think Christina has a lot more going on in, intelligence-wise than emotional intelligence does.
Well, I think she followed her career to being, she has a master's? I have a master's.
Yeah, I think it's from John Hopkins or something, come to think of it.
Oh, my goodness.
ECR, you have a master's as well?
I have a master's from John Hopkins, and you don't even have a degree? I think I remember her saying something like that.
Right. I just think a lot of those people on this show, for whatever reasons, probably because they wanted to bank on their looks, don't really pursue college after bachelor's, if that. And so it's very... she stands out to herself in that way because she has, it's kind of like the Lee thing where does she win everyone else? That's the one thing that makes her win
That's a great point. I think you're right. That's what's unique about her. But The Bachelor is a jungle and you need your street smarts. And she doesn't have the street smarts.
That's exactly right, Chris. She lacks street smarts. Bingo.
But Christina has those.
But she does have the above, not just catty, but like a really bad, evil instinct that is considered street smarts. She goes behind someone's back and says, I didn't mean to do that. Just kidding, I did. But right.
Are you thinking of the Lacey interaction where
the Lacey
she
thing.
Sabotages Lacey and Diggy, right?
Yeah. And she goes up to Christina and says, oh, so how are you feeling right now? When obviously she's feeling like crap. She seems like a dick and on purpose. I spot these girls and I'm like, oh, you, I hate, especially when she's, on my girl, Christina. Can't believe it.
You can't do that to Christina. I agree.
Okay.
But
all right.
Said
so
all that, just full disclosure, both of you and anyone listening, that's probably the kind of person that I would be ensnared in her web if we were both in school at the same time. So that's why I think I have to talk through these things with you guys. Are psychoanalyzing me right now a little bit.
Wait,
so
you would be
you.
Caught up in Taylor's web?
Like I would, I think I would try and talk to her and I would try and get to know her a little bit. And I think I would come to the conclusion you guys have eventually, but I would be tricked along the way. So thank you guys.
Girls have tricked me too, like I've been friends with girls. I've been like, oh, I like you, you're funny, you're smart. No, they're horrible, they're trying to sabotage me behind my back. It goes when they're one way. I think we see a preview of her getting in a fight with the other guy, and this is not the kind of girl you want to be in a fight with, because it's a verbal fight with, because it seems like I would love to get in a physical fight with a girl like that again. And because she seems like she's gonna mind F him, just to win. And that's not a progressive, serious love relationship where you're trying to be a better person and all that stuff.
That's true. Whatever.
Well, but she is the only person that seems to have a relationship that's going to, actually stick around for a little bit, right? Because she's with one of these guys that I don't know apart from any of the other guys.
Derek.
Thanks. DR or whatever. D-Lo.
D-Lo.
D-Lo's the quote, hot woman, and Derek's the hot man. So.
Is he?
I don't know.
Well, is he the construction? I'm cutting us off from Taylor talk.
Okay.
I can't do it anymore. So we've done Dean. We've done Rachel. We've done Taylor. So now we got to go on the, what's her name? Juliet?
Jasmine? And Matt?
No. No, the one who goes on the Jorge's Torre.
Oh, Lacey. With
Lacey. Lacey. Yeah. Okay, so we brought up Diggy.
Oh, sorry, but before we go on, because I'm looking at Raven right now, it looks like she listens to you, Craig, because she has given up on makeup altogether.
I noticed, because she doesn't have the best complexion, but...
Yeah.
Like, so you I can understand why she has, like, a thick foundation, but, like, I think a lot of girls... laid on too thick when they're on TV, so I kind of like that she backed off.
You did the inflection. I think you.
Maybe you I did. I know it's. God, this is not good.
No, it's
what,
fine.
What we talk about on the Bachelor Masters is starting to rub off on me in my personal life. That's a whole different story.
So Lacey, sorry.
I've geared my entire life around us podcasting this on Tuesday and or Wednesday nights.
It's the first step of madness in the art film that will be your life, Bachelor Master Craig, and he dies in a shallow grave.
I hate to know what my life is going to be like in 20 years, but I'm sure my Tuesday nights will be accounted for. Okay, so
ECR.
What's her name again?
Lacey.
Juliet Lacey. Okay.
What? I
don't really understand. I mean, okay, I don't want to tread on where every other podcast is probably tread on or Twitter. I mean, I actually don't know what other podcasts or Twitter are saying about her, but like, I assume the conversation is being had. Why don't any of the guys like her? I mean, she seems totally normal to me.
Oh man.
What am I missing?
Sorry. I know her type too. And for, I grew up in the, I mean, I don't want to, okay. She seems like a stereotype of just a spoiled princess. She totally fell for Diggy's line, and Iggy did the same thing. But yeah, she's Little Miss Princess, and that it gets commented on that she's a Jewish faith, right?
Yes, and she just seemed like a
little bit of a stereotype of that.
Sure. Kind. Yeah, I kind of sense that's where you were headed.
Including Diggy, who. Isn't it Diggy who decides to bless the whatever they're about to drink or eat on the beach?
It's Iggy, the other guy that was.
Oh, it's Iggy.
Her.
That's right. Wait, Diggy and she. Diggy. Okay, here's the clarification, Craig.
Diggy is African American.
Diggy and Lacey have the nice date on the beach. Yes, and Diggy is a black man and has a great date.
No,
with
I
her.
Know who Diggy is.
But
yes.
Iggy and I'd forgotten because I do. Dislike Iggy much more than Diggy, I think, is pretty. I never understand why he doesn't get more play, basically, because I think I've always thought he's pretty cool. But Iggy kind of annoys me, and he—that's right. Iggy blesses in Hebrew, in terrible bro-ish Hebrew, some sort of meal like on the beach, doesn't he? Is it on the beach or just at when they're hanging out?
Right before the rose ceremony. Like trying to, you know, make a play
he's
for the
sucking
rose.
Up.
This
yes.
is the cram session that they should have had all along. You know, the study a little bit every night instead of a lot at the end.
All right, hold on. Back the train up here. I thought we were talking about Juliet.
Yeah, Lacey.
Lacey.
We're not.
We are.
Let's not give Diggy and Iggy any unnecessary amount of airtime.
Well, I will say that by way of agreeing a bit with. ECR in that before we started talking about this at all, I think she's the most unstable person on the show.
Oh my God. What have you guys
she
seen that I haven't seen?
She cries after every half
when?
Slight. And
did I watch the same? Am I watching the same?
No, I had the same impression as ECR where I was sort of thinking, I felt bad for her a little bit because I thought, man, if she's getting upset at some of these, it's like every other tease with her / every other cutaway interview is her saying, I just don't think I'm ever going to find love. And
well, it's
crying.
True. I mean, she's just saying what everyone already knows. But yeah. The question I'm asking is why? I mean,
because she seems so needy. Like we
also
hear
what they do. You're telling me that Amanda is any less needy than she is?
You know, we're having to take what we see on the show, but also, because we don't see everything, what the other contestants say. And I have to agree when other people say that she just comes off as kind of, you know, like intense and needy. I can see that a little bit in these interviews, and I think it must be amplified when she's off screen.
So you're telling me that when you put, okay, you're a dude,
yeah,
at this Playa Escondido, and you're looking around and you see her, and then you also look at Taylor, mouse, tall, blonde woman, Raven, Amanda. You're telling me that she's below all of them?
Well, maybe. Maybe not when I look at first, but if I go up and she is laughing quickly, looking around at everyone other than me when I talk to her, making these asking me if I'm doing this in the spirit of friendship or romance, yeah, then I might walk away after a certain point.
And go to who? Taylor?
I would go, well, yeah, I know I let out my weakness before, and I know she's the most hated one, so that's on me. But also,
oh, that's right, I forgot. Danielle, you might actually end up with Taylor.
Danielle leaves, and I would go talk to Danielle. I think she always seems pretty, you know, she's pretty.
Who's Danielle?
She's not very aggressive. Oh, she's mouse. In love with Wells.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Got it. All right. I still don't get it.
Well, she's spoiled. Like, I think after everyone talks to her, she's spoiled. And isn't she the least? She, you know, she doesn't have an attractive haircut for. She doesn't stop. You know, everything she does is not quite what she should be doing for her body type.
She also wears a very thick foundation.
Yeah.
Like, she has no features on her face. She looks like Odo from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
that. Did you see that kind of like green bikini top she was wearing where her. Like, untanned breast was sticking out the top?
Yes, I did. I didn't want to, but I didn't want to look there. But yeah, it was totally obvious that there was like a slice that was different shade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Plus, well, she was the one that was wearing that really strange halter top workout shirt before they shut down. Because didn't she leave because her grandpa died?
Yeah.
And she was wearing that like really weird like cutoff that had the... You know what I'm talking about, the long sleeve
black
thing.
Oh, yeah, he was bonding with Iggy before the shutdown. That's why he was trying to cram before the
rose
ceremony.
So she made the mistake of buying a bunch of new clothes before coming on the show and not washing them in the washer and dryer to kind of let them stretch out and not testing out the bikini tops to make sure her tan lines matched.
Plus, don't forget that her intro shot is her rubbing lots of suntan lotion all over her, which... Right. Is my least favorite shot. I hate to say
it's not a flattering shot.
Yeah.
It kind of runs out of those.
Yeah, one final comment, not to, because I do feel slightly bad for her, so I don't mean to be continually negative, but she does seem sort of self-deprecating in a way that comes from like ego and not humility, right? Where it's like,
yes,
I'm going to be so self-deprecating because I think I actually deserve all of these things and you're going to laugh and think it's funny rather than... Yeah,
that's an interesting way of looking at it.
But again, I feel bad because she cries a lot and I don't like to see people cry. So that's my last thought.
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys wanted to talk more about Lacey, but when Danielle comes in right now... D'Lo, because there's two Danielles.
That's why they call her D'Lo. I was wondering because she never went by D'Lo before. I was wondering,
you know,
why is the other D'Lo? Danielle?
The blonde girl.
Oh, mouthful.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's right.
So
we got to stick with the nicknames here. I can't keep track.
Danielle, what they should do is they should give us a clip of their most memorable moment from their bachelor or bachelorette
they
thing.
Should.
They own the
clip.
Yeah,
I have a little window in the corner that kind of like has like a pop-up video bubble.
She was
gives
the
us
one
a little
that...
background. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did it with Adam because we really had I had no idea who he was except that he brought that puppet.
Right, the puppet.
Or whatever.
Oh,
that
my
doll.
Goodness.
Yeah.
The puppet.
So, yeah.
All
here
right, well,
comes...
let's talk about D'Lo here. No, go ahead.
Only because...
I'm just transitioning. I've taken on the role of transitioner.
Oh, sorry. I just want to say that, and I'll ask you guys this question, basically, that all the guys seem to keep it very PG where it wouldn't normally be PG. So I have this kind of question for you guys. Do they keep it PG? And if they don't... what are we missing?
Like, wait, you mean when the guys are talking to each other?
When they're saying how attractive she is and whatnot?
And yes. When Dean says on a scale of zero to
$500.
Yeah.
Well, zero to attractive, I'll take attractive for $500.
I'll say that felt very produced to me, because I agree it felt like something no human would say. And if they were going to say something, that it would be more inappropriate. But I'm the wrong person to ask in terms of being in a social circle that would suddenly say anything when someone like that came in.
But
maybe Craig would be better.
If you're a long-term listener of Bachelor Masters, you might see a pattern in how I approach guys. I think there's like a curve where if you're insecure and lame, you're insecure and lame, and you treat women poorly, whether you're with women or talking about women. And then there's like a curve that goes upward. And if you're cool, but you're not that cool, you still like will sit around and do bro time and talk shit, you know, like, oh man, she's so hot, I want to do her. But if you're really genuinely cool, like you're the kind of cool that doesn't have to think about being cool, then you don't do those kinds of things. You don't make fun of people you went to high school with because they look different, or and you don't, like, you know, you treat people with respect and you treat women with respect. And so I don't necessarily, maybe Ben and maybe the guy who's with Taylor, maybe those are kind of the guys who are like at that level where they just don't have to engage in those kinds of things. And maybe Dean is aloof enough that he doesn't. But I just picture Iggy and Diggy and those guys standing around and being like, oh man, I would do X, Y, and Z to her. And yeah, they're definitely doing that.
But the guy, Derek, who's with Taylor, actually says, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be with my part. I'm not going to be, basically says, I don't know if I'm going to be with Taylor anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's not talking R-rated. That's just telling the confessional what you're thinking.
But it seems like, well, I'm asking, I guess, because also at least guys can be themselves around you, even if that's not your friends. You've probably overheard other guys in bathrooms or wherever men congregate to say gross, like, you know, not exactly I will, you know, I want to do her, but something gross, something more.
Like I said, I think there's two different kinds of guys. There's like cool, but still not cool enough, and then there's cool. Mm. And there's a big difference between how those two types of people engage in bathroom stalls. I think there's a big difference. And there's a lot of guys in both. Well, there's a couple guys in that one category and a couple guys in the other category. Dean is a whole third category. I don't even know what his deal is. If I were Dean, here's what I would do. He obviously likes D'Lo more than Christina, which I don't know why. I actually don't find D'Lo all that great. Like, I think she's just a normal, good-looking girl. I don't find her all that special, especially stacked up with the other girls. But imagine if Dean, like, so when she comes up to him, when D'Lo comes up to Dean and says, hey, can I pull you aside and talk? And Dean goes, and salivates. Imagine if he just turns to Christina and says, you know what, I'm hanging out with Christina. I respectfully decline to talk. You know, dude, that would make him, like, every girl in America who watches this show would be just, like, goo goo gaga for Dean. Like, if any of the guys had done that, but they all were like, ooh, with their jaws on the ground, like, over this D'Lo woman.
Yeah. Well, when they go on the date, she's ditzy and, lilty, like, and if her, God. I always wonder if she looked different. I mean, first off, she acts that way because she looks the way she does. Maybe there's a correlation there. Or maybe if she was the same personality in someone else's body that no one likes, like Lacey or Alexis,
right?
Would people be like, oh, she's so, would Dean or whoever be like, wow, not only is she, you know, she has a great personality. Like, they seem to like her also, her personality.
It's horrible. I would turn into Dean around D'Lo. I would be like, get this chick away from me. I can't take it. The whole, like,
no.
every half sentence, I giggle because I find it so funny.
You know, as much as I hate to give Nick credit, I think this is part of why he didn't advance her as far as, you know,
right.
some of the other contestants on his right. season. Because I right. think she was the one who I think the date that she really stood out on was the Backstreet Boys dancing date in that season.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And
was she a freaking NFL cheerleader or something?
I think she's done something, or she had danced in some music videos or some. Yeah, she might have been a cheerleader, but she had some experience, and that was something people thought was really, you know, attractive also. But she didn't make it very far. And I agree with what you're both saying, that it's sort of like I haven't seen any, you know, evidence that her like appeal goes beyond whatever sex appeal they're telling us that she has, that as quote in the show, she's much hotter in person or something like that.
Well, just to add one more insult to injury here, there's a scene in the second episode towards the end, like right before they cut to the DeMario thing. I don't know if anyone caught it, but she's in the background. Well, the camera's focused on something in the foreground, like they're interviewing someone, and in the background is D'Lo, and she's wearing this like red one-piece suit kind of that has the stomach cut out, and it like literally looks like granny underwear, and it is the most unflattering thing, and you really get a kind of like an unflattering look at her body, and it's really not.
I had seen that and memorized that, I would have enjoyed the granny underwear, but I didn't get that. So
you're attracted to granny underwear. Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Chris? Okay.
To grannies, actually.
All her fashion choices were pretty bad, though, from the beginning. She purposefully, you know, wore just like pieces of a straps, like with. You know, like curtain.
Are you talking about the blue thing?
Yeah, the blue.
Like, well, it's one of those dresses that it's made out of that like cheap cotton that once you wash it twice, it completely lets out and you can never wear it again. Like, that, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like not flannel, but it kind of feels like that. I don't really know.
Yeah. And then she wears the super torn up jeans, and Dean
decided to wear his pocket T-shirt today, and.
Well, this is where I have to love Christina more and more, too, because she does not hold back, like, how pissed off she is that at every gathering with D'Lo, who's, you know, they're cutting away to Christina saying she's here flaunting her, you know, flirtatiousness and whatnot in front of me. And then they cut back to the scene, and it's like Christina with her head down while everyone's, like, smiling and clapping. She, like, gets up and walks away. I kind of love that. Christina's such a badass.
Yeah, but wouldn't kind of going back to the theme of the night? What am I missing? Like, if you're Christina, and you're that angry, at what point? What is not clicking that your brain connects the dots that A, you're on a reality show, B, it's a competitive dating environment, you're angry as hell at this guy. What doesn't add up that she still gives him another chance when he gets back?
I think it's his like words. When you're. Yeah, sorry. I think it's partly that.
His words, he sits down at night after like four rounds of her saying something's wrong, we're acting differently. And then he sits down after 2 days of that and says, I wanted to talk to you because things don't feel right and we're acting differently. Like, he's the freaking one who noticed.
But I do, I hated that too, because I thought she had tried to bring it up obviously before when he said, I have to go shower. And then he brings it up like he's the first one to notice.
Right.
And it's like,
which is a total narcissist jerkwad.
Obviously, she brought this up. But I think you must be in a weird emotional state on this show. And it must not be too dissimilar to being like in middle or high school, like we're comparing some of these contestants' emotional states when you're infatuated, like at a party or something, and you kind of hold out hope against hope, right? When you get little signs that I'm gonna go for it.
You're exactly right. And when you start to lose it is when you start grabbing on tighter, which is the worst time. You should have, you know, made some kind of, it's not fair to her because he's gonna try to distance himself from Christina. But when things were okay, she was like, okay. When things are starting to get worse, she's trying to grab on tighter, and it gets worse for that same reason. It's pretty bad. Like, she's holding on to words and to less and less things as things go out. She's doubling down on their relationship as it's getting worse.
Right. And I do agree. As a figure on the show, I hope that she does wake up with her rational brain a little bit and not put all her eggs in one basket, as a lot of contestants say, you know, when you invest your time. Because I think a lot of the guys, if they had any perceived interest from her, would give, you know, a rose to her, because I think she is someone who, if they talk to her, you know, they would like her. And yeah. I don't want to see her go, but everyone thinks she's like all in on Dean, so I hope she moves on.
Well, we'll talk back to D'Lo and Dean, only because I think when I was watching it, I was really upset about the environmental concerns that I have for them ATVing through the jungle. They have things set up at the top, but they're just, you know, the wildlife. I was pretty upset about that. They don't seem to care at all. They're young and ditzy.
They drive black SUVs everywhere. You know?
Yeah, like, that's true. Yeah. But they were so frustrating. Like, listening to the conversation that they have is so cut up. I guess I'm doing it now because I'm thinking like they're thinking. It's cut up and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that was cool. Oh, cool. You know, very vapid. And
definitely.
I don't see, how they like each other.
No, well, they just
take
want
some
to
of
get
the
it
glycogen
off.
From her upper lip and inject it into his upper lip.
That's
then
a
I'd
great.
Be real happy.
You know what? That would be a new installment for the Human Centipede series. Is if they take Bachelor contestants and excess fat from certain parts of their bodies and inject it.
Is this a South
it.
Park reference?
No, I remember that episode you're talking about.
Oh god.
Though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm once again getting...
You're getting frustrated?
Frustrated with these characters. Kind of going back to being an episode, it's sort of like Breaking Bad. It's like when they had advanced side characters, it did feel a little different. Well, obviously it felt different. It felt frustrating because you were so used to being focused on Walter White and Gus and all that kind of stuff and Jesse that... To have, like, suddenly have to deal with the wives or like the DEA agents, it just felt a little weird. So here we are, like, dwelling over D'Lo,
yeah,
and Dean, and you know, when really and Juliet and Mouse Woman and
AKA Lacey,
yeah. So I don't know.
Alexis makes a comment while they're on the date.
Who's Alexis?
Alexis is Dolphin Shark.
Oh, she's still around?
She comes out. I think she seems like she comes out pretty favorably in this episode.
She's kind of established herself as the cool girl, you know, the bro-y girl, the one who's friends with everybody.
Right.
But she says that she went on Nick's season of The Bachelor, and she says she doesn't like him.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought that was another one of the many insights we get into their personal lives. These two episodes is them saying the truth about people. And she went on his season and, you know, vied for him like anyone, went right. after him. And then she says right. she doesn't like him. So I thought that was an interesting little side issue that I was kind of caught off guard by.
Well, she's a good friend to Christina. Mm-hmm. And she's goofy with Jasmine. Two good points for her this episode, where she sings the song and does the fake fight with Jasmine. And when Christina cries, she goes and lays by her.
Yeah, yeah.
Good on her.
It's like a good friend. And DeMario said during the interview that you didn't watch, Craig, that they were throwing coconuts into the ocean at 3 a.m., also environmentally, but whatever.
Okay.
Like, let that one
Never
go.
Mind. 50 Full points. Taken away.
But I'm saying that they're buddy, but they were buddy buddy, and he was interested in apparently he was interested in dating her, but you know, men go on The Bachelor, I think, for the wrong reasons more so than girls do. So, you know, he's trying to save face there, I think, with trying to say he was interested in more than just whatever he was interested in, which I don't think is true. But anyway. Uh-huh. Back
do you remember a while back, maybe it was Andy's season or Caitlin, do you remember there was a guy who would like change his outfit 3 times a day? Does that ring a bell, or am I? Is that a totally different TV show?
I don't remember. this. No. It could be true, because I'll tell you.
He had some weird thing, like some kind of like obsessive compulsive disorder, and he would change his outfit every time he was on camera. He was wearing a different outfit.
It
became kind of a joke.
I totally tune out the first three episodes of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. I just have them on, so maybe I'm not. Only because the first three, you're not going to remember anybody. Maybe
That's
something
true.
Happens.
I agree with that.
But I have a hard time.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well, so one of the other things I was thinking about on the bus ride home was The Real World. I'm sure some of our listeners watch The Real World. How different that show is now than it was back when we were young. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, it's like a boxing match. They just throw, it has all these themes now. So the one that was just on was they would bring in your ex.
Yeah.
Boyfriend or girlfriend to live with you for a week or something, and it was just like, how many fights can we squeeze into a half hour every episode?
Pretty cool.
And which is really a lot different than how it used to be. It used to be kind of like Bachelor in Paradise, where you just put really different people into a house and kind of see what happens. But you know, there's a lot of precedence in the evolution of The Real World, because of course there was something called Road Rules, which was The Real World but on the road, and there was that one season where they put him in a Winnebago with no money and tried to see what would happen. That was really cool.
That season made me so mad, because I think they spent the last $12 on a hat, like a Rocky Raccoon hat, like one of those, you know.
Yeah, well, one of the guys' names was Rocky, right? Didn't he hook up with the blonde chick, the young blonde chick?
You know,
chick?
I was too young to watch this. I just remember that one scene.
Congressman now or something strange like that. Goodness. But anyway, so there's like kind of all these like patterns that are emerging that are kind of similar. And then they used to have the Real World versus Road Rule challenge where they bring everyone back, not unlike Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so do we have a rose ceremony? What happens next year? I'm starting to like lose.
Well, we haven't gotten to the woman's rose ceremony technically yet, right?
We have. It's over.
No, we have. We only have 9 minutes left in this episode.
Good call.
So, no, the women did their thing a while back.
No, then we've gotten to the only rose ceremony that happens in the two episodes. We're leading up to a men's rose ceremony, but presumably next week sometime.
Yeah.
So we're only at the end of the first episode, not the second episode.
Yeah, but there's no rose ceremony next episode, so we're good.
What happens in the first hour of next episode? I can't even remember.
Sarah, what happens?
Oh, what happens is that they talk about Sarah comes in and dates Adam, and then Danielle and Wells, you know, she leaves, and
it's basically really? That's
what
it?
Happens. That's, yeah, she,
that's
yeah.
about it.
That's it.
And then DeMario. Right.
And then the next hour is the Carly DeMario slash.
I'm starting to get depressed. I really thought there was more going on, and I look back at the last hour and 15 minutes of our lives, and I realize we just spent it talking about Dean, Christina, Juliet,
Lacey,
aka Lacey.
AKA Lacey, Diggy, and Mouse Blonde Woman.
Danielle.
Dolphin Shark.
Alexis.
And Emotional Intelligence.
Taylor. Well, don't forget, we never discussed the half birthday that Dean celebrates with D'Lo.
Oh, okay. Right. Maybe we should, how about we talk about that, which is basically just going to be continuing to talk about how much of a douche Dean is.
But a little bit.
I think it actually could. I think maybe everyone has a story like that, so we can reflect on past relationships.
Well, plus, before we get deep like that, the superficial thing is her birthday is December 28th, so we know they were shooting that on June 28th. That gives us a little timeline. I believe the Men Tell All was sometime like July 11th or something like that. So I think they did do Men Tell All after the Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh.
You know?
Wait, well, before we get into even what you were, before we get into the stories you guys are going to get into, since Craig didn't watch the DeMario thing, I just wanted to tell you guys that the only information that was given at all was that something, no one, again, nothing was said about what happened in the pool, except that I'm guessing that the word intense, because he said something like it got intense, which is a cover for oral sex. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
sure.
That's the only information we got out of the DeMario thing. And okay, so now we can say we covered it.
Well, you know, the whole thing, of course, got me thinking, irregardless of me actually watching it, which is, whoever, if the story holds that whoever instigated this was some sort of producer who, I guess, sued the show, which I still don't quite understand how that works, especially in a different country. But, like, how come that person's not being held accountable? Like,
yeah.
I understand that you shouldn't, there shouldn't be necessarily negative repercussions to reporting what you think is a crime. Like, we shouldn't...
Right, whistleblower laws or whatever.
Yeah, like, we don't want to, like, discourage people from that. But at the same time, there's a certain amount of accountability that doesn't feel like is happening. Like, if really, if like, couldn't... I'm saying like again. See, this is how frustrated I am with everything that's going on.
Let the likes out.
If they didn't take the time to at least find out from everyone what their thoughts were, and to get a sense of things, and this person went straight in and sued whatever and shut it down, like, maybe acted quickly without necessarily doing due diligence. I don't know. We don't know anything. That's the thing, is that they're not giving us enough information. And that really the only conclusion you can draw is that, yes, DeMario's name is now completely smeared, and he's never going to get a job again, and people are going to think he's a sex offender. And that's a lot to throw on somebody, even a reality star, without having any acknowledgement, you know, of the person who initiated this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we only know, I mean, he came on telling, they've only alluded to things because they imagine that we've read about it, because he was talking about an article, the articles that say all these things about him. I did not read any of those things, and I looked it up because I was interested. Even the most salacious thing I read did not have any of the information he was saying. He was saying that she took a limp Corinne out of the pool and sexually assaulted her. And, you know, he definitely went on there to say all the right things. He's trying to clean up his image. But
so you did not find that article? Sorry to clarify, but ECR, you didn't find an article where anyone said that?
Well, I didn't look it up after he said it. But when the shutdown was happening, before I saw the show weeks ago, I wanted to read about it. And I didn't see anything that was more than there was a sexual assault with no sex.
I didn't go looking specifically, but I did see TMZ clips and whatnot, and it basically says exactly what you said. And and between what you and Craig yourself are saying, I can't. It does feel a little pretty, you know. And knowing that the show is produced to have certain drama, it's, you know, it's hard. It's not a big leap to wonder if this was something that was kind of baked into the show, so to speak.
And then got out of hand, do you think?
Well, you know, that's a best case scenario, because I agree that if not, then the worst case scenario is, like Craig says, that you've got two people, and maybe it seems like so far, especially DeMario, that have kind of black marks on their name that will make the rest of their life much more complicated. But if, you know, hopefully if it was kind of planned in some way, that, and if this is, you know, I don't know. I guess it gets dicey when you start speculating that way. I don't know. But yeah, it does feel a little weird. I guess that's all I can say.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird.
Yeah.
Well, I will say one more time, just because I feel it's relevant, that I do appreciate that we are actually getting relatively adult conversation about this on a major network for, you know, it's a little bit refreshing considering how narrow the debates are nowadays. Okay, let's wrap this up with going back to Dean and his birthday cake. So I'll start and then I'm done. I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't know. I feel like I started this episode of Bachelor Masters so enthusiastic and positive, and I'm just ending worn out.
It's a sad episode.
Negative. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the 4 hours a week, too. It's just too much. Oh, and I couldn't help but thinking one last thing I was thinking on the bus. This just reminded me on our unofficial sponsor Hulu playback of the episode, which is how implicitly racist the representation of Jorge is. Yeah. Now he's giving tours, and it's like, it's like the service model thing that's embedded in all that thing. It just is really obnoxious.
Yeah, no, it's like a Speedy Gonzalez kind of vibe to it.
And we never saw him mixing drinks the way that they've presented Wells, just in like one episode, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Wells is like the hero white dude who's came and, you know, taken over. Okay, so Dean Cake. So it's one thing to treat Christina like crap and be tuned out and want out or whatever, and you're narcissist. I mean, everything we've talked about. It's another thing entirely to do something like what he did with the cake right in front of her while he's sitting down next to her. I mean, that's a whole nother level of douchebag that has, I mean, it's the difference between Murder 2 and Murder 1, right? It's premeditated, right?
Yeah.
It's like manslaughter where you just did it, and you didn't know what you're doing, and you're a dick, and you're sorry, and you go to jail for 2 to 5 years, and premeditated murder where 25 to life.
Yeah. He got a cake. He cut it in half.
Right.
He, you know, I've seen people get food on the show, so it must not have been too hard, but yes, it was definitely a deliberate act to give her a cake while he's cuddling with Christina. Says, oops,
yeah,
sorry.
He's not even sitting next to D'Lo. He's sitting next to Christina, almost like cuddling her, like you said.
Here's what I bet.
Go out of your way to do it. It's just so weird.
I think what's going on in his mind is he thinks that he's really transparent and like polyamorous when obviously he's not. And this is an act showing, like, look, everyone must be cool with this because I'm deliberately showing affection to this one person in front of this other person who I've been completely transparent with, but who he hasn't been, right?
Chris, who, really, really interesting read.
Well, that's a theory, obviously. I can't confirm that, but that's kind of what I think he's thinking, because he's always talking about being mature and about these things, but not in a way he ever communicates effectively to the people involved. Maybe if he were more emotionally intelligent, to use Taylor's phrase, he would realize what Christina thinks about this thing, because she's really the kind of like aggrieved party here, but
well,
he doesn't.
He seems very tone deaf, but also, why isn't D'Lo being like, hey, yeah, are you cuddling that girl? Why are you trying to give me a cake? You know, then maybe they're not taking her. Maybe they're not interviewing her. But that seems like if you're the new girl, maybe you let a few things go with the old girl. But that seems a little like, wait a minute, are you flirting with me, or are you with this other girl, which is pretty rude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or she's
D'Lo still has options though.
Yeah, she's super confident. Yeah. So maybe she's like, this is how it works.
He'll flare out, and I'll get, what's his name, Dogman Ben, you know?
Yeah, oh my God. Jeez, why do they think he's such a good guy when he's such a meathead, so boring? I don't know. Right. Says me, but...
If Ben wasn't a meathead, he'd be like, the biggest catch on the show, right?
Yeah, he is interesting, but, well...
All right. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm a total downer. Maybe I'll try harder next week.
You know what? I don't mean to be controversial here, folks, but I blame Trump.
Yeah, well, he's out here on the West Coast doing mixing things up, that's for sure.
Well,
you know, L.A. does have a way of, getting on in your head, and when Trump is nearby, it makes it even worse.
I blame Dean. I think he's just... He is reminding me of some, you know, cringy middle school moments of like, does he like me? No, wait, I don't know, maybe, you know, like he's very frustrating to listen to watch. to watch because he's
maybe that's ultimately what it is that, like, I feel like I'm getting heartbroken across the board on the characters that we've been emotionally invested in.
Yeah. You know?
Like, whether it's Dean on one end, whether it's zero to Dean on one end and zero to Christina on the other, it's like I'm being let down by these characters.
This was not like a salacious, fun episode. This was actually a really sad episode of someone breaking someone's heart. And it was all about Dean and Christina, basically.
Right.
This one and the next one kind of talks about it, too. So it's a good, solid 2 hours of...
Yeah.
You're right.
And then you throw in what's her name and... Yeah.
Yeah, there was no, like, look at these other people. That was mostly them, so they really played that up. Well, they had to make it up because, you know, they had to leave, 2 weeks of production, so they have to kind of fill it in somehow. Guessing?
Great point, EZR. And I read somewhere that they're even though they had a week or two of less time at the beach to record, they're still going to pace it the same way, so the last couple episodes are actually going to take place after everyone's back in the States.
Really? Huh.
That's what I read, yeah.
Whoa.
It's like we're going to get like a post, I guess you'd call it a postscript.
Like a Big Brother, like let's go back into their real lives, which is, you know, I think where we're heading in a Bachelor world is...
back to Dallas.
Yeah,
back to Nashville and back to Kentucky.
The road trips and stuff.
Maybe they'll run into Jackson, Brittany from Vanderpump Rules with their new show in Kentucky. Okay, so, all right. Hey, we might have crossed the 20 listener threshold. I think it's the, I think we're catching on with our non-official sponsor, Hulu. I think there's some listeners there that have jumped on board.
Definitely.
And pushed our listenership up. Twitter continues to be great, at Bachelor Masters. And we have got a total of 0 likes since last week on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBachelorMasters.
That is 5 more than -5, so well done,
right,
folks.
There's, you can only go up. See, there's a big distance between being a 0 and being a 3. You know, if we can get 3, that's a long way
infinite,
from 0.
But yeah.
Right. You can't divide by 0.
I see your logic, but yes, you're right. In the cosmic scope of infinity, we are all but mites of dust.
Good note to end it on.
Is next week 2 episodes again, or are we back to 1?
I think almost every... I did look at next week, and it is 2 episodes. I think that seems to be consistent.
It might be because they lost the after the, you know, Talking Bachelor, whatever it was called.
Yeah, what happened to that? The woman from that show, it now has her own show. It's the Live Dating. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a show called Live Dating or Dating Live. It's on something like Oxygen or OWN.
Ooh.
It's a dating show much like Blind Date, but it's live.
Oh.
So they have three or four dates going on at any given time all across the country. With cameras everywhere. And they check in on the various dates. And then she runs the play-by-play, the woman that was on the after show.
Michelle Collins, the good one. I like her.
She's funny. Not a thin woman.
No, Michelle Collins. I really like her. She used to be an editor for Best Week Ever, only online. I knew her from before because I thought she was a very funny comic. But, you know, she's very funny, but Blind Date is the gold standard. That was a great show. Very
yes.
Pop-up video.
Yes. And close behind it was Cheaters with Joey Greco.
I still watch that, but...
Well, the new host, is his name is Clark Gable.
He's Clark Gable's grandson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hey, there you go.
Douche. Sorry if that's a bad word, but that guy is one.
Well, he's like dumb as a doorknob, but you know he'd do very well on that.
You guys remember Eliminate? I think Eliminate is number 1 or 2 on this list. Maybe even number 1 for me, but yeah, I don't know. Eliminate's great. They should bring that back. Bring that back, Hulu.
Well, yeah, right.
Noted.
Hey, Hulu, where you at? All right, well, I guess our work here is done. Until we meet again, thanks, EZR, you rock. Thanks, Chris. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.